could lead to less effective parenting. For that reason, I'd love to hear from you this morning. What are the methods that you use to discipline you? How successful have you been as a parent? It's not just parents, it's grandparents, it's guardians. Get on board, share with me this morning. 0845 305 1122. Are you texting your thoughts? 81333. If you're a fan of social media, possibly follow me via Facebook, facebook.com/BBC Radio Cumbria. You can email the show, fern.cumbria@bbc.co.uk. Dr. Amanda Gummer, joining us via the phone this morning. She herself, a psychologist who specialises in child development. Amanda, we'll get around to some more comments from listeners to BBC Radio Cumbria. Before we do that, I want to take you back. Oh, it was last week. I don't know if you spotted this story in one of the national tabloids. An American father so fed up with having to tell his teenage daughter to clean up her messy room, he took this drastic action, as some would describe it as being. He moved the entire contents of her bedroom onto the driveway, leaving it there with a sign which read, "Room moved to driveway, clean it next time." Now, as we went on air this morning, I was suggesting talk about getting your point across. Is that a fair thing to do, or is that a parent who's lost it?
I don't know. I think for a teenager, sometimes you need to take some drastic actions. Without knowing the ins and outs of the case, it's very hard to comment. But I don't think it's cruel. I don't think it's necessarily an overreaction. And I think as long as afterwards there was a discussion around why it's important or why the parent felt it was needed to do it, and maybe some help in putting it all back together, and it was a point made rather than an actual punishment, and the child was made to sleep on the driveway, then I don't think it is too severe. I think parents sometimes are afraid of taking the sort of short, sharp shock angle because of all the pressure on parents to feel, you know, the sort of the positive reinforcement and all the wonderful carrot rather than the stick approach. And actually, you do need a little bit of both.
It's a little bit of both. It's knowing when to implement one of the two, I suppose. That's where it gets very, very tricky, yeah?
Yeah, but it's about teaching your children that there are consequences to their actions. And, that, you know, if they stick their hand in the open fire, they will get burnt. That will hurt. They will learn not to do it again. Now, you don't want to do that. So if you pull them away and sit them in the corner, or you don't let them go in that room because they can't be trusted, that's not an overreaction. It's keeping them safe. And all the discipline should start from the premise of keeping them safe. So what you do is less dangerous than letting them do what they wanted to do in the first place.
Researchers in America say child and child behaviour means that they aggravate their parents more than they did 15 years ago, creating stress that could lead to less effective parenting. We take an interesting text here from Joni in Kendall, who says, "I was born in 1949, and she says, when it comes to parenting, bribery works."
Yeah, I think bribery's got there's obviously the negative connotation. Bribery is wrong because it's coercing somebody to do something that they don't want to do in order to get a reward that they wouldn't normally get. However, there's a very fine line between that and sort of positive reinforcement. And it's about this learning the consequences. Again, we go to work so we get paid. We don't go to work because we necessarily want to work. We go to work in order to get the money that we need to live. So there is an action and a consequence, and giving children positive reinforcement, which can sometimes seem like bribery. If you eat your dinner, you will get pudding. If you behave well at granny's, we'll go to the shops on the way home and you can choose a chocolate bar. Those kind of things. There's a fine line between whether they're bribery or whether they are just teaching children in a way that they understand how to behave appropriately.
Dr. Amanda Gummer is with me on air this morning. She's a psychologist who specialises in child development. If you'd like to pose a question, 0845 305 1122. We've got Tom, we've got James there, the other side of the glass, taking your calls.
BBC
Child Behaviour. We've all seen that awkward moment when a child is screaming in a busy supermarket, but are you the parent on the receiving end of the tears and the tantrums? Hopefully, this morning, this hour of the show, we're offering you help and advice. courtesy of Dr. Amanda Gummer. Now, Amanda is the lady behind the website The Good Toy Guide. She's also a psychologist who specialises in child development. Anything you'd like to throw into the melting pot this morning, I'd appreciate a call from you, especially if you're a parent, a grandparent, a guardian, who's often charged with the responsibility of looking after the little darlings. How best do you discipline them when there's something of a tantrum taking place? 0845 305 1122. We'll get back to Amanda. And Amanda, this time round, we've got another call for you. Well, welcome to the show. Marilyn, who's joining us from Carlisle. Good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning there.
How are we?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks for you.
And not too bad at all. Now, you've got your hands full because you've got two children, yes? A toddler and a baby.
I have, yeah.
And you've got a specific question. Amanda's listening across. What can we do for you?
Right, hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Hi, what it is I've got a little 4-year-old and it was perfectly toilet trained, absolutely fine. And then as soon as I've had this new little baby, he started wetting himself. Now, not all the time, just sometimes. Now, he won't do it at school because it's just in reception, but he'll just do it at home for me. I really don't know what the problem is. Do you think it's an attention thing or anything I can do to sort of stop it or encourage him to not?
It does sound like an attention thing, and it's not uncommon, so don't worry about it.
Right, okay.
But, yeah, how you deal with it will have a big impact on how long it lasts. And the new baby arriving is quite possibly the trigger. So things to do are to make sure you spend some quality time with just you and your son.
Yeah.
And make sure that he's involved as much with the baby as possible. And he's made to feel like the big boy and the big brother and isn't he wonderful? And lots of really good praise about how good he is. And then what you can do is explain that the baby has a nappy because she's little and she doesn't get to do... baby girl or boy?
It is a baby girl,
okay,
yes.
So she doesn't get to do X, Y, Z that he gets to do because he's a big boy, but she has a nappy, whereas he's a big boy and can use the toilet. And
right,
that kind of message about how babies have nappies, but big boys have, you know, train sets or go to reception or do all sort of the really nice things that you get to do when you're 4 that you're not allowed to do when you're 6 months old. And sort of make sure that message is getting across so that he sees the benefits of being a big boy and doesn't think that the baby's getting all the attention and that actually he'll go back to being a baby. And one of the things that babies obviously do is wet themselves because they have nappies that need changing. So I think that message is a really important one. But don't worry about it. And I think it's something that will pass naturally as he gets used to having his new little baby sister.
Yeah, it's really hard at the moment because, I mean, I don't know, like, I'm breastfeeding her, and also she's been sort of in our bed quite a lot, so it's a hard thing there.
Yeah, so he does probably feel a bit left out, so you probably need to make some really extra special time, maybe a bedtime story every night that is your special time before, you know, you put the baby down and you spend some time with him and make sure he knows that that's his time, and you might need to leave the baby to cry for a bit to protect that time for him.
That's it, yeah.
Marilyn, I have to say, is that your little baby daughter you've got there with you?
It is, yeah. She's talking away, yeah.
Oh, she sounds absolutely gorgeous. What's her name?
Alice.
Bless you. Yeah. I'll let you and Alice away. That's Marilyn joining us on the line from Carlisle. Is that a big problem that many parents face then, Amanda? The introduction of another member of the family and, you know, older infants suddenly feeling slightly pushed out?
Absolutely, and it's very natural. And especially you've got that compounded as well with things like step families and, you know, different family configurations all joining together. People's place in the family gets squashed or redefined, if you like, and I think it does take a bit of adjustment, but parents need to be sensitive to how the children are feeling about things like that.
Amanda, it's been fascinating having you with us for the opening 45 minutes of this morning show. One final question for you. It's been suggested here, when needs be, red legs or the naughty step. What would you suggest?
I don't think you're going to get a psychologist on the radio saying you should smack your children. However, the naughty step needs to be used really cleverly and really sensitively because it doesn't always work if it's not. So the point of a naughty step is to give the children time out so they can regroup and you're removing them from a situation that they're struggling to cope with because they're having a tantrum and they're frustrated. So you give them time on a naughty step And it's, I don't like calling it the naughty step. Timeout's a better word for it. And they just,